Daf Chaf Zayin. So we got to the very top there, around six lines down to the new Mishnah. The new Mishnah tells machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Arba Arbarasrei Pseudos Chayv Adam Leechel B'Sukkah Achas B'Yom Achas B'Laila. Rabbi Eliezer says we have to have 14 meals throughout all of Sukkahs. We know there are 7 days of Sukkahs. There's an eighth day of Shemini Atzeres. That's not in a Sukkah. So the 7 days of Sukkahs times two, that's a total of 14 days. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Come along now, the Chacham, they say, Chacham Omer, Ein Ledavar Kitzvah, Chutz Meleil Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. They argue, if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Ein Ledavar Kitzvah, Im Ratzel His Anos, Ein Anu Zekukim Lo. If a person decides to fast, we don't force him, we don't prevent him from fasting, we allow him to fast if he wants. Ela im yochal lo yochal chutz l'sukkah. So the din is, according to the Chachamim, they must eat in the first night in the sukkah. All the remaining meals, they don't have to eat anything. They can actually fast if they want to do. If they decide to eat, that must be in the sukkah, but there is no requirement to eat any further than that. Mishnah says further now, and this statement is a contradiction the Gemara is going to point out, the Yod Amar Rebbe Eliezer, Mishlo Achal Leila Yom Tov Harishon, one who does not eat on the first night, Yashim Leila Yom Tov Achon Shechag, is able to make up his meal on the last day on Shemini Atzeres. Even though he's not sitting in the sukkah, he can make it up. That's the din. Now, it's a little bit confusing because we just said he requires 14 meals. Now, it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer says he only needs one meal the first night, which can be made up on Shemini Atzeres. So the Gemara is going to address that Rabbi Eliezer actually changed his mind to agree with Chachamim that there is only a chiv on the first night. And then the Mishnah says, Chachamim omim ein ledavar tashlumim. They argue even on this point, even after Rabbi Eliezer retracted and agreed that there's only a requirement the first night, they argue that there is no tashlumim if one were to miss the first night. V'alzeh nemar, on such a person who misses the first night, he can't fix it. He applies a pasuk, mu'uvas lo yuchal litzkon, a mistake cannot be fixed, v'cheson lo yuchal li'manus. You can't count that which is missing. So the interesting question the Pnei asks, according to this first day of Rabbi Eliezer, 14 meals, he says, shouldn't there really be 15 meals? There's always a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, right? And there's a Shal Shuz in between, that's 14 plus 1, that should be 15. So what he says is that he's only counting the meals that are chayv in Sukkah. Shal Shuz is a chiv based on Midin Shabbos, not Midin Sukkah, and that's why he didn't count it as part of it. That's one answer he says. The second answer, he says, no. Shal Shuris is the second meal of the day. Every day there's two meals. Remember, there's a morning and there's a night. So the morning is a Shabbos Suda, and Shal Shuris is the second meal. It's a night. There's no Lav Malka. When there's a Yom Tov, there's no Lav Malka. So he says that Shal Shuris goes into the night of Chol Moed. There's no meal. So there actually turns out to be a total of 14 meals. So that's his understanding. Again, the assumption is there's no Lav Malka. Not so Pasha, but that's the second answer of the Pnei Yeshua. The Magid of Ram proves from here that there is no chiv of Shal Shudas on Yantif either, because that would have been another meal. Because we just spoke about the 15th meal, Shal Shudas on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. But what about Shal Shudas on Yantif Rishon? Shouldn't that be the 15th? Must be that there is no chiv Shal Shudas on Yantif. Now it comes along the Shar Melech, it's not true. This is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. If you remember the Sugs and Pesachim, his machlok is whether or not Simchas Yantif is a chiv or a reshus. Rabbi Eliezer says it's a reshus only. So in the world of Rabbi Eliezer, yes, there's no shal shudas. But in the world of Rabbi Yeshua, who we paskin like, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv, Eina Chanami, he felt that there would be a chiv of shal shudas on Yantiv. We don't assume this way, but nonetheless, that's the suggestion. Now, one other point before we go vayt in the Gemara here, where the Mishnah, Pashup Shah, the Mishnah is that according to Rashi, you're allowed to fast, according to the Chachamim. There's only a chiv to eat on the first night of Yantiv, but the rest of the meal you could fast. That's very hard to say. So that means the first day, the day meal, you're allowed to fast. You don't have to eat a meal. Of course that. Of course you're not allowed to. And you can't fast Chol HaMoed either, for that matter. Pnei Yeshua simply says you don't have to have a meal, but at the same time, you're not allowed to fast. You could drink a little bit of water. You could have a little bit of snack. That way, it's not going to be considered fasting. But Rashi was not meant dafka to fast. What he meant was there's no requirement of a full-blown meal. Gemara now says, my time at the Rebbe Eliezer. What was the reason Rebbe Eliezer required two meals every single day, totaling 14? So it says in the pasuk, Teishu came to do. So Madira Achas Biyom Achas Belaila. Just like when a person has his regular day, he has a breakfast and a dinner, let's say, whatever his lunch and meal, whatever his two meals are, lunch and dinner. Av Sukkah Achas Biyom Achas Belaila. So to one should have two meals every day of Sukkot. Rabbanan Kedira. Rabbanan, I agree. I agree there's a concept of Teishu came to do. But I understand the way a person lives during the year is different than the way you think. Madira Ibay Achil Ibay La Achil. A person does not have to have two meals. He could decide not to eat. He has the option. Sometimes people will go a whole day without eating. They're fasting because they're busy at work or they're not hungry. There's no requirement to eat on a random Tuesday. So therefore, he says it's the same idea, but the difference is it's an option. So Gemara says, Ihachi, that's the case, that it's all about you have the option to eat or not eat. So afilu leil yom tov rishon nami. So even the first night should be optional. How come Chachamim say the first night there's a chiv? So it comes along the Gemara, Amar B'yochan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Yol Tzadok, Nemar Kan Chamishasar, Nemar Chamishasar B'chagamatos. It says, Tesvav is how the Gzer Shavah is referred to. Tesvav Nisan is Pesach, Tesvav Tishrei Sukkot, we have a Gzer Shavah. So just like Malahal and Laila Rishon Chova, just like the first night of Pesach, there's a requirement to have matzah, and yet Mikan Ve'elech Rishus, the remaining days, are all optional in terms of eating matzah. So too, through the Gzer Shava, Afkan, Laila, Rishon, Chova, Mikan Ve'elech Rishus. So too, the Sukkis, the first night is a Chiv, the remaining days and nights are voluntary. B'hosam Minolan, how do you know by Pesach there's a Chiv to eat matzah the first night? Amar Kar, the Pasuk says, Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, Hakosav Kavo Chova, Be'erev, which refers to the first night, there's a Chiv. Tochlu, you must eat matzah the first night. So there's a Chiv, Laila, Rishon of Pesach, eating matzah. So too, there's a Chiv, Laila, Rishon of Sukkis, to eat in the Sukkah. That's the understanding. So now Rashi points, the Tosfos points out here, what comes out from this Gemara, according to the Chachamim, that other than the first night of Sukkot, there's an option to eat the rest of the meals. So that means the daytime, the first day Yom Tov, you don't have to eat a meal if you don't want to. So what would happen if you didn't say Ya'alev Yavo? Let's say you did eat a meal. You ate a meal first day Yom Tov, and you didn't say Ya'alev Yavo. The klal is, only when there's a chiv to have a suda, and you miss Ya'alev Yavo, do you have to repeat the benching. But if you don't have a requirement, let's say Rosh Chodesh, you're eating. You don't have to have a meal of Rosh Chodesh, but you decide to have a bagel. So you wash in the bagel, and you forgot to say Ya'alev Yavo. You don't repeat benching because there's no Chiv Suda in the first place. So here as well, if you look at Tosfos points out the same thing by the first day Yom Tov. He says, Klal, Ibai Achil, Ibai Lo Achil. Klal, you don't have to eat anything if you don't want to. Ibai Achil, Chayv Lechel B'Sukkah. If you do eat, you must eat in the Sukkah, however. Kedamin Aleo. Umashmahach, it implies here, to be Yom Tov lo havi chovim, which means the daytime. Not the Laila is a chiv. Daytime Yom Tov is no requirement to eat. Vibai lo achel, klal chutz bilayla Yom Tov harishon. Ulufize, according to this, im tov lo hizkish a Yom Tov birchas amazon. If you forgot Ya'alev Yavo, in the daytime meal of Yom Tov, a benching, eino tzarech levar alach, so you don't have to repeat benching. V'hada amin, that which the Gemara in Perek Shlosha she'achlu, Gemara Brachos tells us, shebasos v'yamun tovim, delo sagi lay, delo achil, imta chozer, that you're not allowed to go about without eating, meaning you must eat, and if you don't say Ya'alev Yavo, you must repeat benching, that must be okimta, lo mitokma ela b'leil yom tov rishon she'pesach, b'leil yom tov rishon she'chag, where those two nights are a requirement, but the day meals of the yom tov, that's not a requirement, and therefore you don't have to repeat benching if one forget, say Ya'alev Yavo. Back into the Gemara now, halfway down the Amr, the Gemara says, V'od Amr Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer said as well that if you forgot the Yom Tov Rishon, you can make it up on the last day of Shmi Atzeres. V'ha Amr Rebbe Eliezer, Arba Asrei Seudus Chayv Adam Le'achal B'Sukkah, Achas B'Yom, Achas B'Layla. Didn't we just say in the ratio of the Mishnah that you have to have 14 meals? Now the implication is that all you have to have is just one meal. So that's a big turnaround. So Gemara says, if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'ha'amah Rabbi Yolza Yudal Tzudos Chayv Adam Le'echel B'Sukkah, V'cheven De B'yom Achron Lav B'Sukkah Yosef. Shmi Atzeres, you're not seeing the Sukkah anymore. Vim Yosef Ba, if you do sing the Sukkah in Shmi Atzeres, L'Shem Mitzvah, for the purpose of Yeshiva Sukkah, over Al Baal Tosef. Mai Hashlamah De Sukkah Ika Hacha. How do you make up eating the Sukkah? Rabbi Yolza says you need 14 meals in the Sukkah. You missed one. So now you have to make the 14th what? On Shmi 14th meal on Shmi Atzeres without a Sukkah? How does that make sense? So Gemara says what happened was Amr Bira, Amr Rabbi Ami, Chazar Bo Rabbi Eliezer. He retracted. What did he retract from? So this is a big machlokas Rashi Tosfos here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says Chazar Bo Rabbi Eliezer, halfway down the Amr here, Eitzah Chachamim. They retracted to agree with Chachamim, which meant Lomer She'ein Ladavar Kitzra. There's no end, meaning you don't have to have 40 meals in just the first night. Vimrotzel Isanos Isana, you could fast if you wanted. Chutz mi leil yom tov rishon, which is a chiv. Ubehom mia palig alayo. This is the machlokas. The kasaver yeshol tashumim, they felt you could make it up. Kamoshi yesh tashumim le karbonos yom rishon af yom tov rachon. You could make up that one chiv if you wanted. So the Marshal says, but wait a second here. In the end of the day, if the first night is midin sukkis, how do you make it up with Shmi Atzeres? There's no sukkah, Shmi Atzeres. So Marshal explains Rashi, what that meant was, the first meal is not a din of sukkah, it's a din of yantif. It's a din of yantif like Pesach, there's a din of yantif suda, there's a mitzvah of achila, not a mitzvah sukkah, a mitzvah achila. We happen to eat in the sukkah because it's sukkahs, but you don't have to eat in the sukkah, it's not a sukkahs meal. So the first meal, if it's not eaten the first night, you can make it up on Shmi Atzeres, there's another yantif, but not in the sukkah, and this way you fulfill your obligation. Tosos, Dibur Maslo Chazerbo, asks around four questions on Rashi. We don't have to go through all of them, but he comes out after all these different questions, and each of them are very interesting. He says, if you look at the last three lines of that Tosos, Nira Lefarish Chazerbo Rabbi Eliezer Mimasha Yot Mitzrach Sukkah. He retracted from the need of a sukkah, however, Li Olam Yudal Tzudos Ba'i. You still need the 14 meals. So the 14 meals are still in play, but that's Midin Achila, not Midin Sukkah. You happen to be eating the sukkah because it's sukkahs, but there's no chiv to eat in the sukkah. So that's a big difference between Rashi and Tosu's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer.
14 meals because of Tishu came to do, which is a sukkah pasuk.
Great question. Not sure how to figure that out. Excellent question. I'm not sure how that would make sense. Tzarchin. So then the Gemara says, so now we're back to the Tashlumim of Rabbi Eliezer, that you can make it up. Mashim b'mai. With which types of foods will you make up this meal? Ilema berifsa with the meal, with bread. Suda diyomo kachil. Right, Shmiat Teres, you forgot your first night yontif meal of Sukkah. So now it's Shmiat Teres. So if you're going to make it up with a bread meal, well, that bread meal is going to be for that yom, for yontif of Shmiat Teres. That's not going to be indicative of a tashlumim of that which you missed on the first night of Sukkot. Ela my yashim b'minei targima. You should eat minei targima. Tanin amihach. The Brisa also says im hishlim. If you need to make up the first night b'minei targima yata. What is minei targima? So whenever this comes up, there's always machlokas. Rashi Tosos. Rashi says minei targima here is la'acha shesilik, after you've eaten your meal. Yaviu parparos ma'adanima lefan of some types of sweets. Kigon, peros, v'kisnim, v'kiplotos, v'mivushalos, different types of fruits and cakes. It's dessert according to Rashi. Tosas argues, Tosas says in the bottom, it's referring to actually protein that you eat with food, with bread. Kigon, basar v'dogim, fish and meat. V'shar dvar mishim lapsin behen esapas, other foods that you eat with bread. So he felt it was more of a sandwich type of meal. Either way, something different than you would be having at the typical meal on Shmiat Teres to highlight that you're making up the missed meal of Leil Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkis. So now the Gemara has the following shaila. Shal Apachapas Shal Agrippus HaMelech. The Apachapas, the one who was in charge of the household of Agrippus, he had the following shalom. He asked Rabbi Eliezer, Kigon ani she'eini ragil lechel ela sudachas bayom. I only have one meal a day. I don't have two meals like the rest of you gluttons. I have one meal a day. So what's the din? Mahu she'yochel sudachas v'iftar. So since the whole concept is teshu came to do, that you have to eat how you live in the house all year round, so I have one meal on a regular day, so I should have one meal in the sukkah, and be yotze, not two meals. This is in the world of Rabbi Eliezer, and the 14 meals. This is a raya, by the way, for Tosos, Shita, that 14 meals is even lamaskana. According to Rashi, this could only be in the havamina of the need for 14 meals, but in that world of 14 meals, two meals a day, I have one meal a day, can I be yotze with one meal, according to Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says, Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer responds back to the Apachapas, every single day, you don't have one meal. You have appetizers and desserts and this. You're not having like a small meal. You're having a massive like a suda every single day. And one day, sukkahs, you can't have an extra little appetizer for your meal. So two ways to understand this response. Either what it means is, okay, so you have an extra appetizer, that's what you should do. And the other side, the Aruch Haner says, what it means is, have a little appetizer, a little dessert, to make yourself hungry, to force yourself into having a second suda. So there's two different approaches. Either one meal is enough with an extra dessert or an extra appetizer, or maybe you should have a full meal, two meals you could do for 1 week to L'chavad Koncha. Then he asked another question, the Apachapas. Apachapas asked Rabbi Eliezer, V'yod Shalu, Kigon Ani, and someone like myself, Sheyeshli Shtei Nashim, I've got two wives, Achas B'Tiveri, Achas B'Tzipori, V'yeshli Shtei Sukkos, and therefore I've got a sukkah up here, a sukkah down there, Achas B'Tiveri, Achas B'Tzipori, Mao She'etzei M'sukkah L'sukkah V'efter, can I travel from one sukkah to the other sukkah, spend the first yantav here, the second yantav over there, is that allowed? So Amar Lo, you're not allowed to, because Rebbe Elazar has a unique shita, She'ani Omer Kol Ayotzei M'sukkah L'sukkah, Bata Mitzvasa Sherishon, if you leave your sukkah during the sukkahs, you're going to lose out on the entire mitzvah. You must be in the same sukkah all 7 days of sukkahs. If you look at the last Rashi before you turn the page here, mitzvah sasha rishona, afilu yom mishavru alo kvar, even if you've sat in one sukkah for 3-4 days, you lose out on that mitzvah if you go to a different sukkah. Ibdin l'mafrei of eino mitzvah, you've lost it l'mafrei retroactively. What you've done was actually no good. Retroactively, maybe you said brach l'atala on those days of a sukkahs. Kidiyalaf l'kamar, we'll see in a moment, shetzarech l'eshev kol shiva b'sukkah achas, you need to be in one sukkah for all 7 days. So Gemara says, how do we see this? So Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, going on to Amun Beis now, Ein yotzin misukkah lasukkah. Rabbi Eliezer holds you cannot travel, you cannot exit from one sukkah to another sukkah. And moreover, he writes, vein osin sukkah b'chol shemori, nor can you build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, because that means you're having a new sukkah. That means you didn't fulfill in the same sukkah. You have to have one sukkah that lasts for 7 days. Chacham omim, they argue on both points. Yotzin misukkah lasukkah, you can eat every single meal in different sukkah. Why do you have to have one sukkah? Have one meal in Reuven sukkah, the next meal in Shimon sukkah. And moreover, v'osin sukkah b'chol shemar, you're also allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. We're not taking into account right now the halachas of building on Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to have at least two different sukkahs. That's completely fine according to Chachamim. V'shavim, but they both are agreeing, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, that shim nafla, if the sukkah does fall down, shechozer abona b'chol shemar, you're allowed to rebuild it, and you can still satisfy the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer as being one sukkah. So my time at Rabbi Eliezer, why did he require one sukkah for all 7 days? He says, simple. The pasuk says so. Amar Kah, the pasuk states, Chag HaSukkos Taaseh Lecha Shivas Yamim. Make a sukkah that lasts for 7 days. One sukkah for 7 days. Sukkah Aharu'uya L'Shiva. A sukkah that's fit for 7 days. Not a sukkah that's going to blow over in 2 days. Rabban Hachi Kamar, Rechmana. Rabban interpret the pasuk to say as follows. The Torah teaches us, Asei sukkah b'chag, you should make a sukkah on chag. You're allowed to build a sukkah on sukkahs. That's what it means. Not to say they have to be in a sukkah on sukkahs, but you're allowed to build a sukkah on sukkahs. The Shavan, they both agree. Shim naflo shechozer bona also b'chol shemor. If a sukkah falls down, you rebuild it. Pshita, of course you can. Reb Elazar says you can't have two sukkahs, which means two different structures. One over there, one over here. If my sukkah falls, I rebuild the same exact sukkah. That's the same exact sukkah. Of course, Rabbi Eliezer says you're yotze. Why would you have to teach me otherwise? So Gemara says, Mao the same. And what would I have thought? Hai hach risahi veinu l'shiva. I would have thought since you rebuilt it, that's called a new structure. It's a new sukkah. Kamash malan. Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree. That's the same exact sukkah. Same exact pieces of wood and nails and whatnot. And therefore, it does satisfy his requirement of having just one sukkah. The Gemara now says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Kishem she'en adam yotze yidei chavasa b'yom tevrishon shechag b'lulavo shel chavera. We know that a person cannot be yotze lulav on the first day of Sukkot with someone else's lulav. D'chsevu l'kachtem lachem b'yom harishon pre-eitz hadar kapos timarim. It says, l'kachtem lachem, you must own it. Forgetting stealing, even just borrowing it, you're not allowed. Mishalachem, it has to be yours. You must own it, the lulav of the first day. Sakach, so too, ein adam yotze yidei chavasa b'sukasa shel chavero. So to you must own the sukkah. It says lecha by lachem by lulav. It says lecha by sukkah. Same idea. You must own it, and that's why you can't use someone else's sukkah on the first day of Sukkot, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So it comes along now. The Gemara says chacham omrim. Ein adam even though you're right. I agree. By lulav, you must own it on the first day. I argue, avayotze de chavasa b'sukasa shechavero. You can use your friend's sukkah. How do I know? Dichsiv kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yashru b'sukkah. That the kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, all the visitors, all the guests, all the members of Klai Yisrael could sit in one sukkah. Melamed shekol Yisrael ru'uyim leishu b'sukkah achas. Every member of Klai Yisrael could sit in one big sukkah. Now, has everybody own that? If you look at Rashi, this Rashi calls the big stir in the Achronim, not for now, but in terms of ownership, how this works exactly. But Rashi writes around 10 narrow lines from the top here. Kol haru ezrach yashu b'sukkos ksivim. Dimashma sukkah achas l'chol Yisrael. One sukkah could be sufficient for everyone, every member of Klai Yisrael. Sheyashu ba ze achar ze, that they could take turns. They can't fit in the sukkah at the same time, but they could all take turns using it. V'yefshar sheyeh l'chulan, it can't be owned by everyone. V'lamat deshav apruta l'chol chad. You won't have a pruta for each person, ela ay de sheyla. I mean, if you take the most expensive sukkah, whatever it costs, and you divide amongst all the millions of Jews, it will be less than a penny for each Jew. So if I don't own it, that means it's not mine. So the Rashi assumes to own something, you must own a shavaprut of it. And that's a big assumption. One of the questions they ask, the Rashash says, leaves the Tzarchin, wait a second, we all give machzeh shekel to the carbon talmud. And machzeh shekel, carbon talmud, a sheep, let's say, costs, I'm just throwing out a number, $500, let's say. Whatever, even if it's $5,000, if you divide it amongst all the Jews, we're all going to have less than a shavaprut of. Yet it's considered as if we own it. So it's not true. Just because I have a pachas with shavaprut of does not mean I don't own something. So there's a big kasha in Rashi, and many achronim try to weigh in here. Either way, what's proven from this Gemara is that we could all be in the same sukkah, even though I don't own it, even though it's borrowed, it's different than the halachas of lulav. So Gemara then says that Rabbanim, hai lecha mai darshibay. So the pasuk that Rabbi Elazar used to prove his point, that has to be taselacha, that you must own him. So what are the rabbanim going to do with the pasuk taselacha? Gemara says, "My darshi be mibarle lemute gezula." You can't steal a guy's sukkah. That would be not lacha. But in terms of shula, k'siv kol ezrach, the word kol ezrach, the pasuk kol ezrach comes to include that shula. You can borrow a guy's sukkah. Gemara then says further, Rabbi Eliezer, "Hi kol ezrach my avidle." So what does Rabbi Eliezer do with this pasuk? He uses the word lacha to tell me you must own it. Borrowing doesn't work. So what's kol ezrach teach him? Mibarle legir shenisgar ben time the kotlan shenisgal ben time. If let's say a person was converted during the sukkahs, so the first days he wasn't Jewish, now he is, and the kotlan became a gadol, became bar mitzvah during sukkahs, even though he is pater during the first few days, he's chayiv now. So one would have thought that according to Rabbi Eliezer, requires one sukkah for all 7 days. Well, this ger shenisgar wasn't royal all 7 days; he wasn't Jewish, and the kotlan shenisgal was also not chayiv all 7 days. So maybe he should be pater the remaining days. Comes to tell me, kol ezra. No, even these two people who are now newly Jewish and newly bar mitzvah, they're chayiv to sin the sukkah at least the remaining days. And Rabbanim respond back and they say, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that. That's obvious. Rabbanim, kevin she'amru osin sukkah b'chol shemoed lo yisrech kram. Once we learn you're allowed to build a sukkah on sukkahs and chol moed, which means for the remaining days you can build a sukkah, so certainly this case as well. Look at Rashi to explain this kal v'chomer. Rashi says, Rabbanim, kevin d'amri osin sukkah b'chol shemoed v'afilu mishimuchuyiv kodem l'chein lo asa. Let's say I didn't build a sukkah the first few days. So I have a requirement to build the remaining days. So that's a din, the pasuk says. So certainly, one who wasn't even chayv in the first few days, he says, sulo itzer chay li rubei, the rubuye, the kol shekenu. The person who was part of the first few days, kavachomer, he should be allowed to build the sukkah because he never missed out. He shouldn't be penalized for missing out on mitzvahs in the first days. They weren't chayv. So that was an obvious point. There is no need for a pasuk to include a katan shenis gadel and a ger shenis gair. So Gemara now quotes a brisa related to sukkahs now. Tanya Rabbanan. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Elai, shalach l'hakim b'pnei Rabbo, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbo, b'lud, b'rega. There's a story once of Rabbi Elai went to visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar, and the Yantif on the rega. And there's an interesting shaila about this, the whole Indian of this. That doesn't come up here per se, but it comes up in the Gemara's in the Rosh Hashanah. What is the nature of l'hakim b'pnei Rabbo, b'rega? There's a big chakir in the Rishonim. Some say the point is it's an Indian of l'chavad harav, to show respect for your Rebbe. Others say there's an Indian of learning, to learn from your Rebbe, to din l'imna Torah. Is it l'imna Torah or is it l'chavad harav? So either way, he was going to fulfill this requirement of Ha'akub Pnei Rabbo Beregel. So he went to travel to Lud to see his Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer. And Amarlo Eli, he says to his Talmud, Eli, Eincha Mishov Se Regel, you are not among those who rest on Regel. What are you doing here? Get back home. Shehoya Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Mishubach Ani Esat Slonma, I praise the lazy, Shein Yotzim Mibiyotayim Beregel, that they stay home. Now, it's not good to be lazy in general, but in Yontif, it's good to be regular, it's good to be lazy, actually. It's good to stay home with your family. You should rejoice, you and your family, and your wife and your children. What are you doing with me? Get back home to your family. So Gemara says, is that true? Ain't he? There's a requirement to be mehakub pnei rabo. He's fulfilling a requirement that's brought down the halacha. Shenamar, it says by the Isha Shunamis, the Shunamis who Elisha had promised a child, the child had died, and she was going to visit Elisha to bring him back to life, to find out what was going on. And she didn't tell her husband what had happened, so she just told him, I'm going to visit Elisha now. So the husband says, the baila of the Isha Shunamis says, madu ata halachta, why are you going today to go visit Elisha? Lo Chodesh v'lo Shabbos. It's not Rosh Chodesh, nor is it Shabbos. Implication was, Mechlal de Bechodesh v'Shabbos Mechayven ishlach b'apei Rabbe. But had it been Shabbos, had it been Rosh Chodesh, there would be a requirement to go visit your Rebbe. So we see from here, there's a requirement to go visit the Rebbe. Now this is a little strange, because we're talking about Yontif, and this psukim we're talking about Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So based on the Ritva, the Ritva says the difference is as follows. When it comes to Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, there's a requirement to go visit your Rebbe if you're within the Tchum. When it comes to Yontif Regel, there's a requirement to even go chutz the Tchum. But either way, you see there's a concept to be makbil pnei rabo on different milestones of the year. A Shabbos, a Rosh Chodesh, a Yontif. So this is the source of l'hakbil pnei rabo Regel. So how could Rebbe Elazar, how could he discourage his Rebbe Elai from coming to visit him? Isn't there din to be makabel Rabbi Rabbe Beregel? So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Hada Azil V'Asa B'Yoma, Hada Azil V'Lo Asa B'Yoma. If he's able to go visit his Rebbe and return back that day on Regel, that's praiseworthy. That's the din, that's the requirement of L'Hakba Pnei Rabbe Beregel. But if he's going to go visit a Rebbe and miss over, have to stay overnight and miss a full day and night with the family, that Rebbe Elazar says one should not do, and you should avoid it and stay with the family. Gemara now says further, Tanur Rabbanim, the Brisa says, The Braisa says that one other question here. The pasuk Aruch Haner says the pasuk above is Samachta Ata Vesecha. That pasuk, is that this week's parsha? It could be this week's parsha actually. It says, oh no, it's Kisavo actually. Is it this week? Either way, whatever it is. So this pasuk of Samachta Ata Vesecha is referring. This pasuk of the Samachta Ata Vesecha is referring to Ma'aser Sheni. It's not referring to Regel. So how they bring this as a raya of the din of staying with the family to the Regel? This is Ma'aser Sheni. So Aruch Haner explained Ma'aser Sheni in a Hanami. The requirement of Ma'aser Sheni is to bring the food to Yerushalayim and eat Yerushalayim, but the practice was to wait until the Regel to bring it. Why schlep five times a year? I'm going Pesach, I'm going Shavuos, I'm going Sukkot, to go another time in the year to schlep, it's a big schlep. So they used to bring Ma'aser Sheni during the Regel to fulfill the mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni. So it's not so off to use this as a raya of being spending time with the family during the Regel. So Vayitin in the Gemara, now the Gemara says, Tanur Rabban, the last two narrow lines of the Amud here, Tanur Rabban, the Ma'aser, the Gemara brings a Ma'isa, Rebbe Eliezer, Sheshavas Begalil Ha'elyon, Besukasa Sheyochanan Berebbe Eli, Bekesaria, so Amila Bekesaria. So one time, we see, and we're going to use it as a question, because Rabbi Eliezer himself was spending Sukkot away from his house. He was spending Sukkot at a different person's house. So we said, you're not allowed to spend Sukkot away from the family. So we're going to get to that question at the end, but first presenting the whole Braisa. So Braisa says again that here he is, he's in Caesarea, it's Sukkot, and V'yigiyacham al-Sukkah began to get very hot, the sun was beating down on them, and Amar lo, ma'u she'afros alav sadin. So they asked Rabbi Eliezer, Yochanan Rabbi Eli, the son of Rabbi Eli, says, Rabbi, could we spread out a little cloth to cover the sun, to block from the sun, a little shade? So the question was, because it was Shabbos, and it might be considered an ohel, being most of an ohel of the sukkah, is that allowed? So Amar lo, ein lecha, so he responds very strangely. He said, Amar lo, ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet miyisrael, shalahemin mimenu shofet. There was no shevet that didn't have a shofet come from them. Nothing to do with the question at all. So then what happened next? Higiyu chama l'chatzi sukkah. Now the sun began to rise further. It was in the middle of the day. It was beating down from, it was noon. It got even hotter. So Amar lo, ma'u she'afros alav sadin. Can we now spread the sheet? It's pretty hot in here, Rebbe. Amar lo, ein l'chal kol shevet v'shevet m'Yisrael shlo yatsu mimenu ha'nevim. There was no shevet that didn't have a navi that came from them. Shevet Yehuda ben Yamin did not have nevim. But still, the hamidu mulachim al pi nevim. They had the kings who came from them, and the kings are appointed by nevim. So tzkiilu they had nevim as well. So again, nothing to do at all with blocking the sun, with adding a tent. Higiu chama l'maraglosav shel Rabbi Eliezer. Finally, what happened was the heat got to the legs of Rabbi Eliezer. It was beating down on his feet. It was very hot. Natal Yochanan, Sadin Yochanan, not Rabbi Eliezer, but Yochanan, took the sheet. He placed it over the sukkah, the schach, to provide shade. He created an ohel. So Hifshu Rabbi Eliezer, talisa l'acharava. Rabbi Eliezer takes his talis, puts it behind him, and the Yatza walks out. He walked out. He did not agree with what he had done. He did not think it was appropriate to cover the sukkah, and he left. So what was the reason why Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer the question directly? So it wasn't because lo mipnei shifligu bedvarim. It wasn't because he was trying to avoid him and ignore him. El mipnei, he had this cloud, which we saw in the Maseches Yuma, shel amar davar shel shama mipi rabo, that li'olam, that Rabbi Eliezer would never say anything he didn't hear from his Rebbe. He knew the answer. He knew it was usher to do this, but he would not say anything he did not hear from his Rebbe. So hechi abed hachi. So how could he do this? Now this is the question. Why are we bring this brisa? How could Rabbi Eliezer be sitting in someone else's sukkah if he had this klal that hama Rabbi Eliezer ein yotzin b'sukkah l'sukkah regel acheru v'hama Rabbi Eliezer mishabech anisat shlanim shin yotzin mebatem b'regel. So you can't leave the regel. So Gemara says no, b'shabbos havi. This wasn't regel. This was Tom Shabbos. They were sitting in a sukkah. Not sukkah. It's not the sukkah shemitzvah. It was a Shabbos in the summertime. He was sitting in a sukkah. And it was a question whether he could put an ohel, not an ohel. But this was not sukkah. And therefore, this did not challenge his din that you have to stay with your family on sukkah. So Gemara says, wait a second. Now let's get to this halacha on Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos. So why didn't Rabbi Eliezer answer the question? He could have told them very simply, there's a mishnah Masechet Shabbos that Rabbi Eliezer himself teaches us that's also to make an ohel, to be most of ohel. So he did give such a psak. Why did he ignore the Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Eli? So Gemara said, v'tiv she'lei mididay. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer answer from his own psak, his own shita? What was his own shita? The mishnah says, pakakachalon, if you want to close a window on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer omer bizman shekasher v'talui poking about. If the window is attached and also hanging by it, it was a string, however they use the windows, you plug it back in, that's allowed. That's not called most of oil, because it's already attached to the binyan. Vim lav, if it's not attached, it's not hanging from the window, then ain't poking bow, you're not allowed to attach it. That looks like a most of binyan. Chachamim Omrim, they said, ben kach pokim, they argued and said, you're allowed to. But either way, Rabbi Elazar says you shouldn't be able to. So this sadin, seemingly, this sheet, was not attached, it wasn't hanging from the schach, so of course it would be Asr connecting it to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar by the window. And the Gemara responds back from the top of Chav Ches here, the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Hasim hu d'mevatel aval hachad lo mevatel. There, the window is mevatel. If you look at Rashi, the top Rashi in Daf Chav Ches here, Hasim mevatel le l'hai pakok l'gavi chalom, this window, the glass, whatever it was, plugged the window, v'chash le mekosa atmo, and it's considered as part of the wall itself, and that's vade aser hokak havi mosa. That's certainly a binyan. To take a window from wherever that is and put it, plug it into your house, that's definitely an iser mosa binyan. While sadin here, anan sadin, we all know, delo mevatile legavi sukkah. That sheet is not staying there forever. It did not become part of the sukkah. The sofa litlo, and eventually when the sun goes down, you're going to remove the sheet, and therefore hilkach lo pshita lerabalazar dilehevi mosa. It wasn't so clear that it was aser. Maybe it was mutter, and since he didn't know the halacha, he kind of stayed away from it and didn't give the answer. Let's quickly recap what we did today. We start off talking about the mishnah about the 14 meals of Rabbi Eliezer. Chacham said there's only one meal. Then they had the Rabbi Eliezer retracted and agreed only one meal the first night. But there's machlokas whether there's tashlumim on Shmiat Teres if one were to miss the first meal. What was machlokas in the Reisha about the 14 meals versus one meal? That's the understanding of Teshu came to do. Rabbi Eliezer felt there was two meals, a requirement each day, and Chacham said, no, it's optional, it's voluntary each meal, and therefore only the first night, which is Tesva from Pesach, is the requirement, but the remaining meals are all Rishus. Then the Gemara points out that the Rabbi Eliezer retracted to agree that only one meal is necessary, like the Chachamim, tells us at a different pshat, what is meaning Targima, how is one to mashlim the meal, if you miss the first meal, what do you mashlim with? Gemara is the meaning Targima, Machlok is what that was. Then the Apotropos of Agrippus had two questions about having one meal, Suda Achas, he only eats one meal. Could it be Yosef with that meal? He says, no, you could have two meals where you can have an extra appetizer to the Chavad Yomtiv. And then the other question said, leaving one sukkah to another sukkah, is that allowed? He had a wife here, a wife there. Can he go from one sukkah to the next? And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, because he holds you must be in the same sukkah for all 7 days, based on the pasuk which says, Tachaga sukkahs tasilacha, Shivas Yamim, there must be one sukkah for 7 days. And Chacham argued and says, no, you can leave from one sukkah to another, you can even build a sukkah, but if it falls down, everybody agrees you could rebuild the same sukkah. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees you're allowed to rebuild that sukkah. Then we had another machlok, because everyone agreed by lulav, you must own the lulav the first day. Machlok is whether you must own the sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer says you must own the sukkah. It says the word lecha. Chacham says no, you don't have to own it. Lecha means you can't have a stolen one, but a borrowed one can be used based on pasuk kol ha'ezrach. And Rabbi Eliezer used the word kol ha'ezrach to teach me that no, to include a katan shenis gadel and a ger shenis gar. Then we had the ma'is of Rabbi Eliezer that Rabbi Eli went to visit him on the regel, and Rabbi Eliezer says, "What are you doing here? Go back home to your family." And the Gemara says, "No, there's a requirement to have p'nei rabbo. If you're able to go and come back on the same day, dear Rebbe, so do that. If you can't." Better to stay back with your family. And then the ma'is of Rabbi Yochanan in the sukkah of the son, where he wouldn't answer the shayla about covering up the sheet, and the reason why he was able to sit in another sukkah, because it wasn't sukkah, so it was Shabbos, that's why it wasn't a problem. But in terms of the binyan, he wasn't able to answer that shayla because it was different than the window. The window into the building, mamish and most of the binyan. But the sheet is only temporary, and therefore he wasn't sure whether that would be a problem or permitted. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.